It is a delight to be here with you again today and to have a good number here in the room with me. I certainly appreciate you making the effort. I'm aware that we have many who are watching online, and I commend you for that. I'm also aware that someone may be here that missed one of the last two messages that I have shared, or maybe both of those, and certainly somebody online might be tuning in and have no idea where we've been. So let me just say very quickly that I'm finishing up today a three-part series on God's house rules. And I'll tell you now, so I don't forget it later, that as you leave on the tables by the exits that you'll leave by, you'll find a refrigerator magnet, which I encourage you to consider taking and putting it on the refrigerator or on something where that magnet will work, and let it be a constant reminder. Now, for anybody that might have missed the first 2 weeks in this series, we started in Philippians. That great joy letter, and I shared with you from Philippians chapter 2, at verses 1 through 4, and then I also touched upon Philippians 4, verse 8. And what those say to me, and I think to us, is this: always, are you ready? Always think well of others. Always think well. That's God's house rule number one. Relationships are sustained by proper thinking. And I'm very much aware that somebody that's listening and somebody that's here might say, I don't think this is possible. I don't think it's possible to always think well of others. I will tell you what I know. It is possible to make progress toward that goal. And I believe it's a good goal where you train your brain. We do that in other areas. We can do it in this area. You train your brain not to entertain those thoughts because they can damage the relationship. So, God's house rule number one is always think well of others. And then, last Sunday, we went to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to be back there today, by the way. But in Ephesians chapter 4, we are reminded that we are called to speak in a certain way. There is speech that is not proper. And I'm not just talking about four-letter words. I'm talking about speech that diminishes and demeans other people. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, we looked at that passage of Scripture primarily from chapter 4, verses 29 and 30, but all of those verses. And I said simply this: always speak well of others. Always speak well of others. I had a beautiful wedding that I was the officiant in yesterday. Jeff and Ashley pledged their love to one another, and I shared with them something that's not unlike what I'm sharing in this series. And I said to Jeff, Jeff, make sure that when you talk about your wife and she's not there, that you always talk well of her. Because it will get back to her, and when it does, you'll have a warm welcome when you come home. I'm telling you, it works in human relationships, not just husband and wife, friends and others. Always speak well of others. And the key verse, let no, everybody say no.
No.
Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, except that which is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. Oh, let that standard be no. No, I will not speak evil of others. I learned as a child, you probably did too, if you can't say something good about somebody, don't say anything at all. That brings us then today to Ephesians again. I'm going to ask you to open your copy of Scriptures to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, and we're going to be looking at what I think is the clearest and best words that I can find on how to make your relationships better. And remember, it starts with the mind and it moves to the mouth. But today we're going to talk about your manners. We're going to talk about how you behave and how you act. So with your Bible open, I'd like to take you to Ephesians 4, and we're going to do a little overlapping here because you're going to hear some ways that one does not profitably obey God's word. That is, they do not profitably act toward others, and you want to avoid that. But I want to start there. Verse 25, chapter 4, Ephesians. Here we go. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. I will tell you, there's more than I can possibly share just from those verses about relationships. I will mention one thing. I'm not going to stay there because it's not central to what I want to say today. But I would tell you that for me and my sweet wife, and God willing, we'll celebrate our 51st wedding anniversary on August the 30th. But this verse has meant something special to us because it tells us, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And my wife and I have really worked on that. We said sometimes the sun didn't go down till 3 o'clock in the morning. Can I have a witness from anybody? Sometimes that sun was late going down. But I will tell you this, and it's a tribute to my beautiful wife, and I believe it to be the truth. I never stepped into the pulpit one time in my ministry, looked over at my wife and realized that we were out of fellowship. We were out of sorts with one another. That we had unresolved issues on that day. I cannot stand and do what I'm doing without that central earthly relationship being right. And I give her so much credit for that. But today I want to simply look with you at some choices that you can make that absolutely will make a difference in your relationships. I know that's a big statement, but I believe it with all my heart. And the focus will be on one verse only. So look with me in your copy of scriptures at chapter 4 in Ephesians, and here it is, verse number 32. And be kind to one another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Oh, listen. He calls for three ways of acting that will, and I underscore, will make a difference. And those ways can just be characterized by three words: kindness, tenderness, forgiveness. Now, folks, let me remind you of what in essence was the thesis for this whole series. That relationships are best when God rules. Let me say it again. Relationships are best when God rules. And I promise you, if God is ruling, you will see the fruit of the Spirit. You will see kindness. You will see tenderness. And you will see forgiveness. Three practices that would change our country. Anybody dispute that? We live in an unkind country. Now I say that, and I love my country, and I thank God for it. But it is becoming increasingly unkind. It's unkind on the streets of Springfield, Missouri, and Nixa, and wherever you live. I have found that I have 1 second to move my car after the light changes. And if I don't, guess what? Somebody communicates by means of a horn. And sometimes they go on by me and communicate in other ways that will not be mentioned. It's an unkind world. But listen to me, that unkindness can creep into our communities and into our churches and into our homes and into our heart. So we're going to look at these practices individually. And on the first one, I simply want to underscore, you got to practice consistent kindness. I like that word consistent. I think there are those that are occasionally kind. That is better than not being kind at all, but it's not going to build strong and healthy relationships. There are those that, quite honestly, are just unkind. But what we're called to is a pattern, a practice of consistent kindness. It's interesting that the Bible teaches us that God Himself, are you ready? God is kind. Indeed, the Bible tells us and Paul tells us that it is God's kindness that brings us to repentance. I honestly don't think it's the big stick that thumps me on the head. I think it's the love of a father's heart, the Father God for me. His goodness, we sung about it, His kindness. That's what brings us to repentance. And I want you to know that God, being kind, wants to see His children being kind. How many of you have pets in your home? Raise your hand. Let me see the hands. All you out there in digital land. A lot of us do, don't we? I'm going to ask a question that I know the answer to. I like those kind of questions. How many of you are kind to your animals? Oh, I knew that. I knew that. We've got two little dogs. Jimmy is mine. He's the smallest. And his brother Jack's 5 days older, and so that's Debbie's dog. And typically in the morning when I go to the sunroom, then Jack's on my right, Jimmy's on my left. They're my devotional buddies. And I like them. Sometimes Jack backslides. I've talked to Debbie about that, but I'm just saying. So, but here about a month ago, my little Jimmy developed a spot right under his eyes, and it grew, and it got ugly looking. And I took him to our good friend, Dr. Mike Fander, and Mike said, he's got an abscessed tooth. And it's so bad that it's broken through the skin and through, really through even the bone, come out on the eye. Oh, my goodness. And we took him through all one round of medicine. It helped a little bit. It didn't clear up. Had to take him back in a week ago. And he had to take out a second tooth. You know, if you would have watched me at times, you would have seen me holding him in my arms like a baby. And he laid across my arm. And I just held him tenderly. I held him because I wanted to be kind to that little dog. Now, here's the deal. If we can be that kind to a dog, can't we be kind to one another? Can't we be kind to our own spouse or our own friends or our own relations, whether it's work or wherever it may be, those people with whom we relate? We are called to consistent kindness. And when we are kind, we are like God. We are like our Father. I hope that there are people listening to me now who will make a commitment to consistent kindness. Not occasional. No. Consistent kindness. Will consistent kindness change the atmosphere? Yes, it will. And that's the call upon our life. Be kind to one another. That is a simple, I think it may have been the first scripture that I memorized. Be kind to one another. That's what Paul said in Ephesians 4:32. Practice consistent kindness. That brings me to the second word, and the word is tenderness. In the translation that I read, it was tender-hearted. I love that word, don't you? What comes to your mind when you think of tenderness? Oh, I think of a mama or a daddy with that newborn baby. Oh, my goodness. They'll sometimes in the family bring that baby to me when it's like 2 weeks old or something, say, "You want to hold this baby?" I said, "No, not yet. That baby's too little, and I don't want to take any chances." Now, my wife, she's Mimi. Mimi's not that way. Last Thursday, we traveled down memory lane for me. We traveled back to my home territory. If you go south on Highway 65, and when you get about 14 miles north of Branson, A highway turns to the left, BB turns to the right to go up to the little settlement that used to be called Chestnut Ridge. The church is still there. But we turn left on A highway, and we travel along Chestnut Ridge for just a little while, and then drop down into the holler. Now, sophisticated people would say hollow, but we did not live in dry hollow. We lived in dry holler. And I drove by the place where I was born and spent the first 12, 13 years of my life. And we made our way down to Bull Creek, some property that's owned by our dear cousins. And it's called Copperhead Corner, by the way. Oh, yeah. And so we went down there, and a bunch of the family came in, and the youngest one there was little Miss Polly. Little Miss Polly Green. Tyler and Aaron Green are the parents. She has three siblings, but Polly's the least. She's 8 months old. My wife's sitting on the banks of Bull Creek in the gravel. She says to Aaron, "Bring that grandbaby, great-grandbaby. Bring that great-grandbaby to me." By the way, how many grandparents do you have in the room? See your hands. Yeah, you're with me on this one. And so here comes Aaron. She brings little Polly over. She puts Polly on my wife's lap. And I hear my wife, and she begins to hum. And I recognize what she's humming because it was songs that we sang to ours when they were that little. And she began to sing. She began to sing a song that we made up most of the verses on. Did you ever do that as a parent, you know? "Hush, little baby, don't say a word. Mama's gonna buy you a mockingbird. If that mockingbird don't sing." And we sung about billy goats and everything. We just, you know, we made up stuff. But it made tears almost come to my eyes as I watched Mimi with little Polly and saw the tenderness that was there. The tenderness that was there. Some of you are old enough to remember the Statesman Quartet. One of the great gospel groups singing, especially in those years of the 50s when I first began to listen to gospel music. And in that group was a bass singer that to this day is listed as one of the top 10 bass singers ever in Southern gospel music. His name was James Weatherington, but they called him Big Chief because he had Native American heritage. And he was a great singer. He wrote a song, many songs, but he wrote a song that I could not find on Spotify. That's kind of unusual. I should have gone to YouTube probably, but I couldn't find the song with him singing it. But I'm going to sing a little bit because it's about God. See, what I'm wanting us to do is to be more like God. Is that all right? And really, that doesn't happen without conversion. And it doesn't happen without the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, where He progressively makes us more like Him. Listen to this song. It's about God. Tenderly He watches over me. Tenderly watches while I'm sleeping or awake. Tenderly He's as gentle as a baby, quiet as a morn, as loving as a mother for her first newborn. Tenderly He watches over me. Tenderly. How many of you are glad that we have a God who watches us tenderly? Oh, my word. Tenderly. I had the privilege of having a daddy and a mama who, even when I turned that 55 Oldsmobile completely over and it came back up on its wheels and went into the fence and we sold it for $37 for junk. Even then, my dad looked down the road at night and saw it and said, "It doesn't look too bad." That's because he was tender And that's what we're called here. If we're going to always act well toward others, we're going to practice consistent tenderness, but we're also going to practice consistent kindness. We're going to practice compassionate tenderness. That word compassion spoke of Jesus when it says he was moved with compassion. It's the word from which we get the word spleen. Somewhere right in here, it is believed in that day, at least to be part of the seat of emotions. But all of us have felt things in our gut, and we have felt the pain there. This is the tenderness that God has for us and that we are to have for one another. So we're going to practice compassionate tenderness if we're going to act well. So you got kindness, you got tenderness. And then the big one. The big one. Can I tell you something? Nobody makes it happily to their 50th anniversary without this last one. Forgiveness. Practice costly forgiveness. You can't make it through life and be in right relationship without it. By the way, that's how God works in our life. You saw it in the text. Even as God in Christ has forgiven you, you're to forgive one another. And when we are forgiving, we may be most like our Father God. When we are forgiving, but too many people take forgiveness cheaply. The reality is it always costs. What did it cost God? It cost him his only son, dying on a cross for my sins and yours. Costly. But I will tell you, if you're a husband and you sin grievously against your wife, that relationship can be restored, but only if she is willing to pay the price of costly forgiveness. And it's not a light thing. I've had men sit before me who had failed in their life and their commitment to their wife, who had been improper with another woman, and I've had them sit before me, and the wife is there and her heart is broken, and the husband says, God has forgiven me, why can't you? It doesn't work like that. Forgiveness is costly, and you better give one another time to work through the pain. Trust is earned in a lifetime, can be lost in 1 minute. And it can be rebuilt, but it's costly. Practice costly forgiveness. I did not read chapter 5, verse 1, but what it says is, be imitators of God as dear children. Remember, there were no chapter divisions in the original text of these letters, and so it went immediately from be kind and be tenderhearted and forgive one another as God also in Christ has forgiven us. Be imitators of God. So that's a tall order. It is. But you can make progress. Starts with salvation. Continues through that lifetime of transformation. Someday glorification. But in the meantime, you practice. You practice. And you practice forgiveness. And if you're unwilling to practice forgiveness, you can be in the same house, you can be in the same bedroom, and you can be in the same bed and not have a healthy relationship. Relationships are best when God rules. And God's rules that I have outlined for you work. They work. They make things better. Will we achieve perfection? Not this side of heaven. But they make things better. And I want that for me and I want that for you. And can I tell you something? I want the next season of our marriage between myself and my sweet wife to be the best. And I think right now it is the best that it's ever been. Practice thinking well of each other. Practice speaking well. Practice acting well. Your mind, your mouth, your mind, your mouth, and your manners. And when we do that, oh, God will do a work in our life. Now, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for just a moment. And I realize that I cannot see those that are watching on a digital means, but that's okay. But with eyes closed, I want to ask you, how many of you right now would want to make a commitment that says, I want to act well toward others in my life, and would make a commitment to say, I want to be persistently and consistently kind, I want to be tender, and I want to be forgiving. And I'm making a fresh commitment this day to practice those things. If you're making that commitment, raise your hand. I want to see it. Don't look around. Don't look around. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now put your hands down. Look back up here for a moment. I want to say to you, I want to say to you that whether you raised your hand or not, I just want to say to you, this helps. It does. And it's not infrequent that I still will have someone tell me, I remember when you first shared that. I think it was in the 1990s. And it's still on my refrigerator. And it's making a difference. Always think well of others. Always speak well to others and of others. And always act well toward others. Don't forget when you leave. Pick up one of the refrigerator magnets. If you have a married family member, son or a daughter, that you think might put it on their refrigerator, it can spark some interesting conversations between you and them, you're welcome to take that extra one as well. Let's pray together. But Lord, it's been good. It's been very good to be here. I thought again of the scripture that says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Father, I take this moment to thank you for the relationship that I have in Christ, who is kind and tender and forgiving. I also want to thank you for the relationship you've given me with my sweet wife, who practices these things day by day. And I want to thank you for Hosea and Thelma Blue, who modeled this kind of living before me. Father, now I pray for those under the sound of my voice that the commitments that they are making will be fleshed out in daily living. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.